News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Oh, baby. Just another ordinary Friday here at Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the program. We've got Sean Murphy screening the telephone calls. We've got Phil Kennedy, who's the producer of the show, always doing a great job for you every single day. You've got two inadequate hosts, Bowerly and Bellavia. We'll try our best to fumble through. Now, you're going to want to stay listening because even if we suck and we are the most atrocious things that have ever happened to talk radio, we have, obviously, we've got the Jim Acosta thing in the news. We're going to be getting into that momentarily, and we're going to be getting into that with Paul Cambria. And I just want to take 2 seconds at the beginning of the show to talk about something that came up yesterday with respect to the weather, because my drive home, I have to tell you, was a little bit slickery yesterday, all right? Now, just like you, we do not like it when the media hyperbolizes and catastrophizes the weather, okay? Just know, we're on your side with that. We don't like it either. And, you know, we don't like those times where we're going to get a foot of snow, and then you wake up in the morning and it's 50 degrees and people are, you know, skiing, you know, they're ice skating, they're rollerblading down your street. We don't like that either. But you have to keep in mind with the weather, we service a large area, which makes us sound like prostitutes, but we service a large area. So sometimes we could have really bad weather in Niagara Falls and Hamburg is in blue skies and sunshine. It's happened where we get storms in the south towns, but nothing in the north towns, and then vice versa. So please always keep that in mind. Always keep in mind, we are on your side. We don't want to catastrophize the weather. We don't want to make it seem worse than it really is. That isn't our bag. And one of the best ways to do that, one of the best ways to make sure that we serve you better, because believe it or not, with all the jokes, all the opinions on everything that we do on a daily basis, believe it or not, part of what we do here is serve you and try to make sure that you get home as safely and as expeditiously as possible. So one of the ways you can help us do that is by using the WBEN Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board at 30930, because when enough people text in that a certain road is bad or a certain area is bad, you help us know. And again, I just wanted to start off the show talking about that because, you know, I got accused specifically of catastrophizing the weather yesterday, and I was trying to think about the best way to answer it. And I will answer it by saying, like you, I don't like it when people in the media, and I don't consider myself a media person, believe it or not, I don't like it when people in the media actually catastrophize the weather. So if you help us out, we'll help you out by not going overboard in traffic and weather reports. David, another Friday. We made it through another week, and Jim Acosta is going to be back on the job.
I, for the life of me, I don't understand what if perhaps we're going to say that you have a pass, you have a right to have a pass because you were vetted, you had the background check done, you were selected, you were part of a pool, and you were given a pass. And just because you have the pass doesn't necessarily mean you can go to the press conference. But you have access to the White House to earn your living because that's what you were hired to do. Maybe that's what the judge is deciding here, but I cannot see if this opens the door to, you know, Bleacher Report of going to federal court and saying, why can't our guy that covers the Buffalo Bills sit in on a presidential pool? I don't understand how that could hold up. The White House has the ability to control who is in the media pool and who is out. It's not even worthy of a constitutional challenge.
No, and this was granted back to Jim Acosta based on the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. I don't understand how that supersedes executive prerogative that would come with the office of the presidency, but I'm not a lawyer. You know who is a lawyer? Paul Cambria, and he's going to be joining us momentarily to explain it from the legal perspective. And this is a Trump-appointed judge.
Well, listen, that's the beautiful part about disagreeing here. Did you not see the video? Now, people believe the video was doctored or it was edited differently. Whether you see, you know, the raw version that CNN has, whatever, you know, take whatever your media persuasion is, go to the opposite side. Look at that video. And from a cynic's point of view, does that look like he makes contact with an intern?
It does, and especially in the Me Too era.
I'm serious, though. If you're being aggressive with a microphone and you're trying to grab someone's phone and you accidentally strike a woman because you're over what, that's still an assault. That's still, in this world where you can't touch anyone and you must be respectful of people's personal space, Jim Acosta was neither of those things.
No, he was not. And the president, does this mean that the president also does not have the right or the legal authority to set ground rules for how press conferences are going to be conducted and how reporters are going to comport themselves in press conferences?
It would be the equivalent of if Donald Trump fired someone who spoke to Bob Woodward and gave a horrible behind-the-back knife that Donald Trump is a horrible president and eats too much food, right? The president has the authority to, you serve at the discretion of the president of the United States. He says, you're fired. You go to court and say, you can't fire me over that. What is the point of being president?
We're going to get a delineation of this whole situation from a lawyer's perspective. Paul Cambry is going to be joining us here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Al Jazeera can put a hostile, Middle Eastern, reporter inside who's just constantly saying negative things about Israel and negative things about the United States and occupation of Afghanistan.
Well, I don't see Roger Waters being at the White House anytime
soon. But I'm just saying, if that were to happen, if you had, some far lunatic, they're going to have as equal a right to represent a media pool as ABC, CBS, because Fox News was on the side of CNN.
This is true. Most media outlets were on the side of CNN because they saw a dangerous precedent being set that they wanted to stop in its tracks.
Well, it's
Donald Trump. What if next time it's President Hillary Clinton? She doesn't like Fox News.
Well, what if the president decides not to televise these press conferences?
What if the president just doesn't hold press conferences anymore?
But could you take him to federal court because he doesn't want to televise the press conference? Who says just because you're covering it doesn't mean it has to be on TV?
This is an excellent point, David. And, the press conference seemed to change, and maybe our listeners have some views on this, but like the press conferences seemed to change right around the time reporters believed that they were the story and that they were a big part of the story and that the president was almost a secondary player to their platform to launch their careers. I don't mean to be taking it too far, but...
I think you're taking it far too far. No, you're absolutely correct. When the journalist becomes the story... And we have this locally. This was the major criticism of Charlie Speck when he's covering the story of Bishop Malone. They weren't upset about what Charlie was saying. They weren't upset about the opinions or the questions. They were upset that, this guy's just doing it because he wants to be famous. It's about him. It's not about the bishop. It's not about anyone else. Well, listen. You're trying to get ratings like everyone else is trying to get ratings. Everyone's talking about the same thing. The guy from Channel 7, this was his thing. He got the ratings. You would make the argument that he, of all the reporters that covered the Bishop Malone story, who's anyone talking about?
I was going to say us.
Well, but they're talking about Charlie at ABC, at WKBW.
Channel 7.
That's what they're talking about. So, Jim Acosta, love him, hate him. Jim Acosta is the story. He is the story.
And that should not be the case.
Of
the journalists should not be the story.
Sam Donaldson and his eyebrows were really weird to look at, but that was
They were two separate people, too.
But when the questions came, he was going to always ask a tough question in the pool, always did, and that was it. We didn't need to know anything about the man.
But some people, David, some people you can ask tough questions of, and it's okay. It is acceptable. Other people, you ask questions, I don't know, like this guy many years ago who asked Hillary Clinton about the whole Vince Foster thing. That guy got eviscerated by most mainstream media for just doing his job.
Yeah.
So you can't ask a tough question of Hillary Clinton, but Donald Trump and any Republican is fair game for anything and everything.
It's very true. That's very true. And that seems to be the new benchmark, and that's the world we have to live in. But at the same time, when you see it unravel in real time, you think to yourself, wait a minute, just because this is the new standard, because the popular culture says it's the new standard, it doesn't necessarily make it fair and it doesn't make it legal. I don't know how the hell we're automatically deciding, you know, because the president of the United States is unpopular or boorish, therefore we can change the rules. I mean, you're taking the white, by the way, CNN can still be in the pool and CNN can still ask questions. They can ask as many questions as they want. This guy can't do it.
Why does it have to be Jim Acosta?
Exactly.
I don't understand, especially given his behavior at the news conference we referenced earlier.
I think Wolf Blitzer would be far tougher than Jim Acosta.
And he would. I think he would ask tougher questions, and I think he would do so in a way that
civilized,
was not bellicose or obnoxious.
Because he's a professional.
Indeed. I mean, we ask tough questions of people all the time, but I think that we are we're not professional by a long shot. But no, I do think that you can certainly ask tough questions of people without being boorish, and it all depends on how you set things up. I think it depends on your general demeanor.
And it depends on what your agenda is. If your agenda is to give a good interview, if your agenda is to discover a truth that nobody else could find themselves, then, you know, I think it's going to be transparent. But if you're there to get Bishop Malone, we're going to have Paul Cambria on here in a second, right?
Right.
If we bring him on this program to ask one of the most articulate and smart people in his field a question, that's one thing. If we get him on here to get him a gotcha, you know, to attack Paul for something that's going, then it's a completely different, to me, it's transparent by the audience. When you listen to Jim Acosta, he's not there to do anything but frustrate and antagonize. That's his job. And I don't remember.
Troll.
I don't even Major, the guy from Major Garrett from CBS that was formerly Fox News, he would ask Obama a tough question. Obama stopped doing press conferences for 2 years. There was no federal court judge putting some sort of legal gun to the president's head saying you must hold a press conference. Donald Trump simply doesn't have to speak to the media.
So what the president has said, guys, about Jim Acosta being back on the job, it's not a big deal. President Trump told Fox News today what they said, they being the court, is that we have to create rules and regulations for conduct, etc. We're going to write them up. It's not a big deal. If he misbehaves, we'll throw him out. Well, that makes sense. If there are rules, if there are regulations, and everybody is held to the same standard and they are not enforced arbitrarily or capriciously, who could argue with the wisdom of that?
But unfortunately, that argument wasn't made by CNN. That was the argument that the judge made, essentially saying you can't enforce rules that you never set in stone and never said were the rules for everybody.
And I don't understand, and this is one of the reasons we'll be speaking with Paul Cambria coming up, I don't understand the Fifth Amendment aspect of this particular decision. For that matter, I didn't really understand the First Amendment contention by the plaintiffs because, you know, there is no First Amendment right to be present at or be called upon at a presidential news conference. I mean, the First Amendment is so often misunderstood. I mean, the freedom of the press idea, the freedom of speech, it doesn't mean that you can say anything you want without repercussions, because there will be repercussions from somebody. The government may not throw you in prison for saying certain things, but your public may throw you in economic prison by making sure you never work again.
But the government is throwing people in prison for saying things. I mean, it's happened all throughout.
The old argument about yelling fire in the crowded theater.
Right, but I mean, there is irresponsible speech as well. I mean, there's people that, you know, push the envelope, that do it for in the name of art or satire, and the court has been very, to me, very black and white in the way that they look at satire and humor and any attempt to, you know, but there are folks that create havoc, and there are people that intentionally mislead for the intent to steal money or to use freedom of speech to give false testimony so that old ladies write checks for $500. And you can't hide behind the First Amendment when you're exploiting people. And I think fake news is a problem. It's a problem, by the way, on the right. It's a problem on the left. Do you remember when we were talking about stop using golden retrievers to fish for, you know, dolphins and sharks and whatnot. People were making up scandals to be outraged about, and we were blindly sharing it. Right. And you know what? It turns out that Obama didn't ban all crucifixes at Arlington. It turns out that was fake news.
So
you start talking about nonsense fake news, and then you lose your credibility, and you become a wacko because you're spouting something that isn't true. We should be fighting this on both sides.
Well, a critical part, of course, about... I've got to check here to see what the situation is with Mr. Cambria on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, I will continue to filibuster.
All right. Phil, here's what you're going to do. We are going to have him on after the news update at 3:35. You are going to call him on his regular phone number, okay? Because the other thing just isn't that turned out to be not such a good thing to do. So if you could, you've got his phone number. We'll have Paul Cambria with us at about 3:35 on News Radio 930 WBEN. We do apologize for having to delay the interview. The issue is on our end and not on Paul Cambria's end. But you know, I guess one of the fundamental issues here, David, is so what is it now? That the court has the jurisdiction over the White House press corps and the office of the presidency and the executive branch of the government is now subservient to the judiciary in terms of press coverage?
Well, again, this is, you know, this shows you all of the mistakes the Republicans made in the minority when Obama and the Democrats force-fed us all these gun laws and all these health care laws. Listen, why didn't we sue? Why didn't Republicans and conservatives go to the court? Because what you're seeing time and time again is the judiciary will always balance the scales. And if they think that Congress has too much power or the executive branch has too much power, and by the way, Obama basically told us for the last 2 years, I'm going to legislate with my phone and my own pen.
That's right.
The courts would have shut down all of these things had we challenged him, and we never did.
Well, stay with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. By the way, as we move along, did the court make the right decision in saying that Jim Acosta can go back to the White House, at least for now? At least for now. And it is Bowerly and Bellavia. Just another normal Friday here on News Radio 930 WBEN. So here is the story. CNN's Jim Acosta has returned to his post at the White House after a court ruling that forced the Trump administration to reinstate his press pass. Joining us right now to explain the legal machinations of how all of this works, we have Buffalo attorney Paul Cambria. Paul, thank you very much for joining us, as always.
You got it.
Well, can you explain how a court has jurisdiction over presidential White Houses in the Acosta case?
Well, understand the limited nature of the decision by the court. The court did not rule that there was a First Amendment issue involved, interestingly enough. The court did not rule that the president had to take a question from Acosta. What the court said was that once he was given a pass, which was in the beginning, that to take the pass away, minimum due process needs to occur, which means an indication of the problem, a right to be heard. In other words, a hearing. So all this judge said was you can't take it away once you've given it to them unless you conduct a hearing. Now, at the hearing, it may very well be that the president says, well, the reason that I revoked it is because he continued to persist, even though I made it clear I wasn't going to answer his question. I wanted others to have a chance to ask questions. He was making statements and not just asking questions, and I've got a right to conduct my press conference in an orderly fashion.
But is there a threshold the president has to meet legally in order to do such a thing, to revoke the press pass?
Yeah. Everybody has to abide by the Constitution. And the Constitution requires due process once a person acquires a right or interest. So here what happened is the court said, well, he had the pass. It was issued to him. So he acquired an interest in it. And before you can take it away, there should be fundamental fairness. In other words, a hearing. And it doesn't mean that Acosta is going to be able to get any questions answered. It doesn't mean that if they had this hearing that they wouldn't ultimately revoke his pass. the court is just saying you need to, at minimum, have a hearing. I agree with that. I think once you've been given a status, it can't just be taken away by the government without the ability to at least be heard.
And so when the White House made the statement that they were going to write a series of rules and basically regulations for the media pool to follow, that is probably setting this up so in the future they could say, I'm kicking you out because you violated 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, sure. Well, this way it takes just, see, due process has the function of not only letting you be heard so that the government can't just arbitrarily do things if you have a status and to take your status away. And secondly, it tries to put some kind of notice and fairness into the process. So what's happening is the president's lawyers are waking up and realizing, well, all we have to do is promulgate some fair rules of decorum and so on, and then we'll see. And if Acosta breaks the rules or anyone else does, then we just cite the rule and we say, you have a hearing. Here's the rule you broke. What do you got to say? And then they make a decision. So it's pretty basic stuff.
Well, speaking of basic stuff, can you explain to the non-legally trained person who has always believed that we have three separate and co-equal branches of government in the United States, how the judiciary can basically legislate over the executive, and to what extent does this limit presidential authority?
Well, you know, recall in the Nixon years when he tried to impose executive privilege and the Supreme Court said, you got to comply with the subpoenas. I mean, the Supreme Court is the ultimate authority. And the Supreme Court can decide whether or not even another branch of government is violating the Constitution. That's the Supreme Court's function. The Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, everybody is familiar with the, you know, right to remain silent. The Fifth Amendment also, however, contains a due process clause. And that's applied to the federal government under the Fifth Amendment, and it's applied to the state governments under the 14th Amendment. And so all branches of government, whether it be the legislature or even the Supreme Court itself or the president, has to follow the Constitution. And that says fundamental due process requires notice and a right to be heard once somebody's trying to take something away from you that you have had a right in.
So does that, is it a right or a privilege then?
I'm sorry?
Is the press pass of Jim Acosta a right or a privilege then?
Well, it can be a privilege, but it's just like your driver's license. That's a privilege as well, but right, it can't be taken away without a hearing. So
that's a good analogy.
If you have an interest in it, in the property, something has been granted to you, some sort of right, the government can't just take it away willy-nilly without giving you the opportunity to A, be told why, B, have an opportunity to be heard, and then C, that happens during a hearing. That's fundamental due process. Yesterday, there was a First Amendment lawyers group, trial lawyers group that I'm involved in, and we were circulating this whole thing around the country. And I said, as far as I'm concerned, the due process is going to be the situation.
What advice, as an attorney, would you give the president and his advisors in terms of setting up rules of conduct, if you will, for news conferences that will pass legal muster? Or is that simply at the discretion of the executive branch?
Well, I think that they get the right to review, you know, they get the right to control their press conference. It can't be something silly, but it can be like, you know, you can ask one question and a follow-up question and then pass it on to somebody else unless you are recognized for a third question. You know, I mean, it's going to be that sort of thing.
Is it also, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it also legally necessary that any policy and standards established by the Trump administration be enforced consistently and uniformly and not arbitrarily and capriciously to avoid future litigation?
Yeah, always, Ed, Tom, and one thing more important than that, they cannot enforce the rules because they don't like what the person is saying or they don't like their questions. You cannot have a content-based decision because that would violate the First Amendment, that we're not calling on you because we don't like what you ask us. If that came out, that would be a problem. And, you know, the president has made statements in the past criticizing CNN and so on, and I'm sure his legal advisors will say, look, just handle them a question at a time. A, you're not obligated to answer a question, and B, if you do answer it or if you refuse to answer it, don't say, I'm not answering you because I don't like what you say about me. That would be content-based.
Very fascinating. Paul, just one more question for you. We know it's been a very, very busy and hectic day for you, and you're in the middle of, just like every American, I guess, of about a billion different things. But for the legally uneducated, the legal takeaway of today's decision putting Jim Acosta back on the job at the White House would be?
It is simply that he's going to have a right to be heard before any actions taken against his past. But it doesn't mean that he's going to have any questions answered, and it doesn't mean that ultimately his past may not be taken away validly.
Well, very good. I understand the situation a whole lot more, Paul. You have a way of making the complex understandable even to low IQ individuals and like myself, and we're very glad that we're able to touch base with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, guys, my pleasure.
Paul Cambria, joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. David, I hate to say this, but that explanation makes it does make a lot of sense. I mean, let's not forget, we're the guys that are very big on the idea that it's not the seriousness of the allegation, it is the validity of the evidence. We talked about that quite a bit in the Kavanaugh situation. In the Kavanaugh situation, we discussed at great length how everybody is entitled to due process, and Jim Acosta essentially is entitled to his due process before a pass that was given to him can be revoked unilaterally.
Look,
I guess that makes sense.
Well, here's the reality, though. Everyone in that media room hates Jim Acosta because they are all narcissists, too, who want attention, and he's sucking up all the oxygen out of the room. So the fact that, you know, televised journalists want to unify and lock shoulder to shoulder, I don't exactly see the this is a wonderful happy marriage, because Fox News certainly has had issues with the way CNN and MSNBC have covered their own network. I mean, there's a lot of professional pride here, but saying that Jim Acosta has the right to be heard and everything else, they are setting this thing up the right way. Judge made the ruling. The White House is going to set up basically procedures, rules and regulations. If you do this, if you touch this person, if you're told to put the microphone down, you don't put the microphone down, you're done. Right?
Yep.
So now those are the rules. Jim Acosta, there you go. You're on probation. Do it again. You throw him out.
Yep. And at that,
and this time, arrest him.
Well, you know, and at that point, once those rules are codified, once those rules are promulgated, as long as they are enforced uniformly, I don't see, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't see how any reporter in violation of those rules who has credentials revoked would have a legal leg to stand on.
Without being, again, if Jim Acosta were to be, if he were to be arrested, now he's violated the law. Now there's a totally different set of circumstances why you could bar him from being a part of the pool. But if he hasn't broken the law and you're just asking him to leave the, you know, the premises because he was rude, or, you know, the judge said you got to have a standard to break a standard. And he has the ability to have a hearing, but you also don't have a standard.
Well, and keep in mind, too, guys, that the judge was appointed not by Barack Obama, not by Jimmy Carter, not by George W. Bush. The judge who made this decision was a Donald Trump appointee.
Well, look, at it. First of all, I don't think Jim Acosta is the most annoying member of the media pool. I think there's they're all CNN and MSNBC, but, you know, there's annoying people everywhere. You know, what are you going to do? Again, to me, if it's about journalism, we would actually have answers to all these questions. We have none of them. And we've heard about Russia. We've heard about all the horrible things that Facebook is doing with Russia collusion and the brainwashing. But we really don't have anything outside of leftists watch their TV from CNN and MSNBC, and conservatives go to Fox News. What's changing? What are we learning in a news day? What are these White House briefings? Why do we even watch them? Nothing, no ground is covered. All we're seeing is, did she counterpunch? Did he counterpunch? It's being watched as a parlor game.
Right.
It's a sport. It's not. You're not getting updates on anything.
There's not a lot substantive. It's almost like a verbal, you know, it's almost like a medieval jousting tournament,
exactly.
Except with words, questions, and answers.
The only substance you normally get is when a ringer shows up and you'll hear from a general or an admiral or some expert in a field, and then they run away, and then, you know, they get the barrage of questions about, you know, blue dresses and whatnot. That's what those things are for. They're for sport.
It is Bowerly and Bellavia. Do you agree or disagree with the ruling by the judge that Jim Acosta from CNN can go back into the White House press corps with his press pass and all? And as much as I didn't think I would say this, I think it's a sound rationale. If you believe in due process, if you believe that the people have the right to argue their case, I don't think I can disagree with this decision. But at the same time, I do think that Jim Acosta is a loathsome human being and is not exactly the finest representative of American media that you're going to find in 2018. That, of course, is only on Bowerly and Bellavia on WBEN and also on Sandy Beach's show from 9 to noon. He's the guy who gets to travel all the time. Here's Jack in Depew on WBEN. Jack.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I would stand with you on the fact that due process went through. However, what I wish Trump would do is take 5 minutes of every press conference and literally quote from CNN his articles and show how crooked they are to make that guy straighten up and send a message to the rest of the media that you need to straighten up or he'll start reading stuff from New York Times or wherever. I mean, we've had enough lying from these quote-unquote news agencies, the manipulations that they've put. And I think as leader of this free world, he stands fully capable of destroying them by just quoting and showing from the article and saying, listen, this is what you said. This is how it's fake news. And he would have more than enough material to do that. What are your thoughts? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I wonder.
Thank you.
I wonder if it's so much the culture that's easily manipulated, or if it's just, you know, you have a few bad apples out there. I don't really think there are the majority of people that are pushing fake news. Tom, I don't believe they're intentionally doing it. I think that's the danger of it is that you think this is what's actually happening right now. The narrative was that, you know, 25 million people are dying in because of an earthquake or because of, you know, some attack. You push those statistics out there, but were they intended to be false?
Here is a fascinating question, David, for our audience. Is fake news intentional because the media has a narrative it wishes to push,
or is it
unintentional because we all see the world through the different prisms from which we view it?
Well, hold on though. We gotta set the parameters here.
Right.
If you're giving fake data, if you're making up a number, then obviously this is an agenda, and that you're not a part of any. No one is going to ever pretend that you're trying to get to the truth. This is just something you're propagating, some rumor, and it's not fact. But there is the other guy who shares something, and somehow in that translation, a fact is mistakenly put out there, but it came from the New York Times, and the New York Times never makes any mistakes. But with how many people are going to media with leaks and everything else, these are unnamed sources. They could be anyone. You could be talking to the mailman and say that a source close to Trump. He delivers his mail. He's close to Trump.
Well, whenever I talk to the mailman, I call him Dad just to confuse him.